Battle with the mind. Battle with the mind.
Now, the Personal Development Radio Show with Brady Cameron. The radio program that gives you the tools to succeed in life and your career. Now, here's your host, Brady Cameron.
Hello, hello, and yes, they are talking about me. And I want to welcome you to the Personal Development Show. I am your host, Brady Cameron. I am here with my super experienced and well-trained staff of personal development instructors.
Steve Garcia.
Kim Crawford.
And Rachel Allert.
And we can't do it just once.
Hello, I'm Steve Garcia.
And I'm Kim Crawford.
And the magnificent and fabulous Rachel Allert.
And that's how strong we are here to serve you and make sure that we serve you. To make sure that we serve you. And I want to welcome you to your intergalactic, super fantastic 2 hours of personal development power. If you listen closely, you can hear the powerful engines of the USS Creotology Personal Development Starship in the background. The USS Creotology Starship has docked here in Vegas again, as we always do every Monday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. We cruise the universe to find you the best personal development information. Speaking of that, you can go to Creotology.com and download your free personal development book there called The Teachings of Soka Draconis, The Initiate. And by the way, we have a new website being built called thepersonaldevelopmentshow.com, and it should be up in about a week, and you'll be able to go there and get a bunch of goodies as well.
Yay.
My mission in life is to turn you into a fawn, a force of nature. Do you hear that nature behind you? The wind, the thunder, the power. My job is to make you unstoppable, a highly evolving individual that can throw your personal will into anything and make it work for you and all of those involved with you. People will gravitate to you and want to work and be with you because of your amazing power to get things done, an achiever. You are the person who makes it happen. You are a happy, driven, and successful. That's you, a force of nature.
I can feel it.
I feel it. The wind's blowing.
It's coming.
Lightning
the power
striking.
Is coming. Now we're going to move on to some breaking news because we actually do have breaking news. Breaking news is this, that we, the Personal Development Show, is still in the process of being syndicated and doing very well. So soon we can come to you coast to coast, so if your local radio station does not carry us, they soon can be, and I will continue to keep you posted on the experiences of the Creotology Starship. And you can also go to TalkZone.com. That's TalkZone.com. And you can listen to our show there as well. Now, I'd like to say hello to my son, the Ronin. He is the Honey Badger this week.
Honey Badger.
Honey Badger. He searches the house in the neighborhood for someone to play with him. And yes, he is still scaring me. As I told you last week, he jumps out from behind all the corners and nails me well. And to my daughter, Nicole, who is now working her first job and doing very well at it. And she is still working on her second book, the sequel, The Pendant. Yay!
Yay, awesome. Nicole!
You rock, girl.
Hi, Ronin!
And we have a very, very good show to you today, for you today. In fact, we have a guest, Dr. Ivan Goldsmith, who's going to be with us at 7:30 today. And he's going to be with us for about 10 minutes or so, and he's going to be answering some questions about weight loss. And I'm going to see if I can get him to open up and talk a little bit about hormones as well for men and women and what's some of the pros and cons of doing that as well. So stay tuned for that at 7:30. You won't want to miss that informative 10 to 15 minutes. Now, besides that, we're going to be talking about the 7 steps to running a successful business. Yes, that's right. I left off from that last week. Mm-hmm. So for all of those who were listening, you knew it was coming. I was coming back with it. And then we have Life is an Obstacle Course and Leadership and Decision Making. Going to be good, good, good stuff. And then, of course, as usual, we'll have the good news guy. He'll be in around 8:30 this evening. And we're going to, I'll try to also work in for you because we've got such a big show this evening. The Wellness Warrior, we're going to try to squeeze her valuable information in as well. Don't want to leave anybody out. So then I guess we might as well go ahead and get the show rolling right along. Would anybody like to say anything before we begin this incredible, stupendous, colossal 2 hours of power?
Just that today is a magnificent and fantastic day, and I'm glad to be here.
You are you?
Mm-hmm. This is my favorite part of the week.
I second that emotion.
Uh-oh, now we're having emotions. I wasn't counting on emotions.
Come on, sing it, Brady. It's just emotions.
Emotions are taking me over. I might get a spot with Bee Gees.
I heard there's one open.
Yeah. Rest in peace, big guy. All right. Here's something from you. A quote from Shirley Jones. After I won the Oscar, my salary doubled. My friends tripled. My children became more popular at school. My butcher made a pass at me, and my maid hit me up for a raise.
Awesome.
Now, here's another good quote. Picasso. Pablo.
I love him.
He said, action is the foundation key to all success. Abraham Lincoln said, always bear in mind that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any other. And one last one by Lydia Child. Belief in oneself is one of the most important bricks in building any successful venture. I agree. I do agree. That's why they always say, that's why when you become a fawn, a force of nature, you're going to notice something. It's lonely at the top, they say. But it's not really so lonely at the top. It's just that, you know, you got more action-oriented people at the top there because, you know, a lot of people go, well, the bottom, if you look down the old pole there, there's plenty of room at the bottom. Well, there's not a lot of room at the bottom. But, you know, that's why I'd rather be at the top. Because I don't want to be crowded. I don't like lots of people around me. It bothers me.
That's what I was thinking.
It works for me. You know, so instead of trying to make me lower myself, I want you to raise yourself up and improve your quality of living. Because if you think being successful is hard just because there's a lot of hard work involved, let me tell you something. I have been very poor as well, and it's a whole lot harder being poor.
It's way worse.
It's a lot more work, you know. So focus your energy and focus your actions, and you too, and you will succeed. You will. You can do it. Say it to yourself right now. I can do it.
I already did it.
See? It's done. See? There we go. Okay. So moving right along into what I promised you, we are going to be talking about the 7 steps to running a successful business. Now, last week we left off with me giving a little bit of a lecture. I was kind of on my soapbox, and you probably thought I should get off of it, but I'm going right back on it. Because there's something very important here to be said. This must be stressed. I cannot hold back any longer. Should I hold back?
No.
I cannot, for I'm a fawn.
No one can hold back a fawn.
The bottom line is this, and this is really kind of funny, and I want you to keep an open mind because I'm not trying to insult anybody who owns a business. I'm a fellow business owner, so I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to be mean. So I want to stress that before I go into this because some of you might look at this in the wrong way. And I certainly don't want to get off track here because I'm really trying to help. But all of you out there who own a business are selling a product or a service. Now, this means consciously and subconsciously you want people to come in and buy your product or service from you. You want business. So you can pay your bills, stay in business, and, you know, take care of yourself and your family and so forth and whatnot. And that's all a good thing. And I commend you for that. However, it has been an experience of mine after, you know, being in many different businesses and talking to different people, different business owners, and even watching them on a day-to-day basis in some cases, is that business owners don't want to talk to salesmen. Now, this is a very interesting thing to me because your business depends upon sales, so why wouldn't you want to talk to a salesperson? Now, I understand, because they're pushy, because they're going to try to sell me something I don't need, and because they're going to take up my time is valuable, I get time to deal with them. Okay, all of those are very, very, very true to the point issues. So with those points and points like that, I totally agree with you, because I have to deal with that too. However, Not all salesmen are bad. Not all salesmen are going to try to sell you something that you don't need. A lot of salesmen truly want to match the product or service to the individual and truly try to help you and improve your life and your business. So at the very least, if you can't spare the time to deal with a salesman when they come into your business or call you looking to talk to you, then at least make some type of effective system to where you can get the information from the salesman so that you can look at what they're having to offer, because they may be offering you something that can truly turn your business around and truly make things happen for you, especially in the field of perhaps of advertising and marketing perhaps. So it's very important that you stop, slow down, and listen. Not everyone is out, you know, just to mess you over and try to sell you stuff that you really don't need. Some, and I'm not saying all, some salesmen are truly bringing you a viable service or product and are truly trying to help you. And, of course, make a living at the same time. It's what we all do. So if you can't talk to them right then, make some type of effective way to find out what it is that they're offering you and not just a quick synapse of it. Find out totally what it is that they're offering you, because, like I said, it could really change your business around. Just for a really quick example, you know, sometimes I used to call for a company that I owned called Premier, and, you know, the owners wouldn't even talk to us for, you know, for 10 seconds or 20 seconds once they found out that we were a promotional company. However, some owners would take the time to talk to us, and when they did, a lot of those owners were saved from going bankrupt and going out of business because they took the time to hear what we were offering them and what we could do for them. And because of it, not only did they stay in business, they became prosperous, opened up other gyms, and was able to move ahead in life. So it's very important to listen to, you know, to everyone who's offering you something, because, yep, you're going to get offered a lot of junk. But let me tell you, there are going to be some valuable little nuggets of gold stuck in there, too, that can make all the difference in the world for you. So take the time to hear, because you don't want to set yourself up consciously and subconsciously working against yourself to where, yeah, I own a business and I need to sell stuff. Oh, here comes a salesman trying to sell me something. I don't want to talk to him. See what type of consciousness and subconsciousness that sets up? You just start working against yourself. Don't close down other people in the same field doing what you're doing. So now that I've done that, I will move on. We will talk about your vision. Your business should have a clear vision. Now, this is important, and a lot of people just brush this right over like it's not that big of a deal, and that's very sad to me, because a lot of people go, well, I'm just going to open up a business, and I'm going to sell this, and I'm going to sell this, or my service is going to be to offer this or offer this. I'm like, okay, so what exactly is your vision? Because, see, if you start a business and you're just in it to sell a product or a service, it's going to lack luster to you. It's going to lack the empowerment that you want to feel. And that empowerment comes from knowing you're truly helping somebody and that your company is truly making a difference for people. So you want to make sure that your vision for your company is clear so that you're not working towards selling your product and working towards selling your service. You're working towards completing your vision. And that vision is one that makes you feel empowered because you're truly helping people. And that's what being in business is all about, is bringing a product or a service to market to where you can truly help someone change their life or, in some cases, change their business. Now, here's some ideas that you can go through with how to create a clear vision. What do you want to be known for in your industry and marketplace? And when you say this, just don't go, I want to be known for having great hamburgers. Okay. Well, we got thousands of places selling cheeseburgers and hamburgers, and I'm sure they all probably think the same thing. I just want to sell some cheeseburgers and some hamburgers. No, you want to be specific when you're talking about your hamburgers and your cheeseburgers. Your cheeseburgers are going to be the prettiest, the most tasteful. They're going to be exactly this big. They're going to be this round. They're going to have flavor, a specific type of taste that other cheeseburgers just don't have, let me give you a great ideal of one. There is absolutely, positively, not another cheeseburger or hamburger on the planet that tastes like a White Castle. Yep. Ain't doing it. Everyone says, oh, yeah, man, we got sliders. And that's a Midwest term. Being from the Midwest, I would know this. However, you know, we say, yeah, let's go get some sliders. Well, everyone knows that means White Castle. All right, so jump in the car, boom, boom, on down to the White Castle, and we get our sliders, and they are so yummy. Then I hear people say, oh, yeah, we don't have White Castles, but we have sliders. What's a slider? Oh, it tastes just like a White Castle.
No,
oh, is that right? Well, let me taste this bad boy. Fire it up. Okay, so they bring it out to you, and no, it's not. Okay, and I understand they tried, you know, but you just cannot duplicate that White Castle unless it's a White Castle. Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. They truly have a different tasting cheeseburger or hamburger, so be specific about your vision for what type of experience you want your cheeseburger or your hamburger to deliver to the people out there in your social masses. So in other words, remember something. People buy and people remember and people come back to experiences. Things that they become emotionally attached to. That's what they're buying. They're not buying your cheeseburger because it's a cheeseburger. They're buying your cheeseburger for the experience that it produces for them. Meaning it tasted a certain way. They love that taste. They emotionally connected with it because of that taste, and they want to feel that taste again because they like the way it makes them feel. They like the way your operation looks. They like the way your building smells. They like the way your courtesy of your staff was. All these things go into creating a unique experience. So your job is just not to open up another cheeseburger and hamburger shop that's just like everybody else. Your goal is to open up a cheeseburger or a hamburger place that is completely different than everyone else's and delivers a completely different tasting burger and at the same time a completely different experience. Tie your vision to that. And if you tie your vision to that and you operate under those premises, everything else will take care of itself. Next thing. And if you guys get mad at me and you want to go to the radio station at KLAV and you want to egg my truck for what I'm saying, it's the black one sitting out there. Okay, you won't want to miss that. Okay? It's
thank God I drive a green one.
Hey, no.
So you're number two. What will be your level of service and your commitment to your service level? That's another big one. There's probably no faster way to lose a customer or not to gain a repeat customer than to give them terrible service. So you really have to think in the forefront. You have to think before you got your vision, you got your product, but before you open that door, you make sure that you have top-notch service in place so that people, when they have something that they need to complain about or something that they're concerned about, that they get fast and prompt and adequate service right away. Nothing wronger than making them wait or blowing them off. And you also want to make sure that your staff is courteous. Let me tell you something. Your staff can make it or can make it or break it for you. If your staff is not of a state of mind giving a smile and really looking like they want to be there and that they're happy to be there, well, that can literally, that enthusiasm and that passion for that can literally rub off on the customer walking through the door, making me happy now that I'm there because I got great service. I feel like I'm being taken care of. I feel like they want to be here. So it must be a great place. They're here every day and they're not burned out on it yet. So it must be a great place. I'm probably going to enjoy this experience. So it kind of sets the mood. Do you want to be considered the best in your industry or the premier leader? Now, there's another big one, because I hear a lot of people say, well, if you're going to get in business, just find somebody who's doing what you're doing, mimic what they do. Then that means I'll be as good as them, or maybe as good as them almost. Well, as long as you're there, what does it matter? It matters a lot, okay? It matters a lot. You don't want to be just the best. You want to be the premier leader in your industry. Once again, that ties into your vision, and that's why people want to come to you, because they're coming back. Everybody else is selling a cheeseburger. You're selling an experience.
Oh, total
different ballgame. Okay? Now, number two, develop a plan that ties into your business. Now, once the vision for the business is established, create your plan or the way you're going to execute your vision. The way you go about executing your vision says a lot about how your company operates, what your vision of the company is, what experience can I expect from your company. And let me give an example, and this kind of ties into another point. a little bit later that we'll talk about. But let's say you're sitting at home and you get a you go out to your car and you find someone left a business card on your window. I've been there. I've done that 100 times. All right. I've done it to windshields and I've had it done to my windshield. Okay. Yeah, that's all fine and dandy. But let's say you get something through the mail professionally made out to you. It's a nice little postcard with a beautiful picture of what you're presenting to me, telling me the facts about this particular product or service. Since we're talking about cheeseburgers, let's just say cheeseburgers. Okay. So you get this nice little menu about a cheeseburger and this thing just looks mouthwatering. It's just gorgeous. You look at that picture and go, yeah. I want a cheeseburger. I want that cheeseburger, okay? Because it tells you how it tastes, how it smells, the experience that you're going to get from it. It was delivered through the mail in a very professional first-class postage stamp. Now, what does that say about your business as, let's say, going out and finding a business card on your car window? Well, we're certainly not saying...
Anyways, I think while you're turning off the phone there, it sounds like you're trying to make a clear distinction that some businesses, while they present a professional image in one part of their business, they're not quite presenting a professional image in another part of their business, which creates a little bit of a contradiction. And that means, like, for example, is a flyer the most professional thing you could find on your car? You know, as opposed to like maybe a full brochure with color and, you know, and a lot of details.
I think it depends on the type of business that you're running, what's appropriate.
Uh-huh.
Because if you're just selling hot dogs off a hot dog stand, then a flyer on your car might just be the thing.
With the little dotted lines, it kind of looks like a little coupon type of thing.
Yeah. You know, to get you to come over and try out a hot dog.
I don't know. I think it'd be kind of interesting to look in the mail with a first-class postage stamp as an advertisement for a cheeseburger. I'd be like, this is like... presidential cheeseburger.
But if I saw a doctor advertising brain surgery with a little 20% off coupon cut out.
Right. Yeah, you might worry about that. So it probably does depend on the nature of the business, too.
Very much so.
All righty then, as they were giving you all that great information and advice, we're not even going to charge you for it. Because my vision and my business is to serve you at all times. Let's see here. Number 3. Know your market. What does that mean? Steve, what's that mean?
Well, knowing your market means knowing who you're selling to. What is your product or service? Who's it going after? Because there's, like you've pointed out before, there's a demographic, but there's a psychographic. There's a mentality out there that's in alignment with what it is that you have to offer as a business.
That is very true. Spoken like a true professional. Now, let me ask you this. Let me underline this. This literally means that the psychographics of your customer literally means what are the best ways to reach them? Where are they at? Where do they live? Where do they frequent? What magazines and books do they like to read? In other words, getting inside and really getting to know your customer and what it is that they're expecting. Of your particular type or service, so you can make sure that you're a match for them. I know some people who were, say, a jiu-jitsu school, and they were targeting people who were interested in kicking. Well, most people who's going to be interested in kicking is going to a taekwondo or a kempo school or something of that nature, not a jiu-jitsu school. So their message was coming across, come and learn how to grapple. And to the wrong crowd, because most of that crowd don't care about grappling. They're interested in becoming a premier kicker. So you want to make sure that the psychographics of who you're marketing to is actually in the perspective of what it is you're trying to market to them, that they're open and that they'll be open and receptive to what your message is, instead of just looking at that, throw it in the trash, and, well, there goes your money down the drain, literally. Okay, so that's very important, is to know the psychographics of who exactly are you trying to market to. As I said, where do they live? What do they think about? How well will your service or product assist them? Remember, you're always thinking about how can you help them. That is the key. And how to gain visibility with your market. How will you market to them? let's move on here too, because I'm gonna try to get through this because we got Dr. Goldsmith coming on in about 5 minutes. So I'm gonna try to wrap this up as quickly as I can. Be consistent. Now, there's a big one. Many people don't understand who in business, what the difference between advertising is and the difference between marketing. Think of it this way. Think of the rabbit and the turtle. Okay. The rabbit is advertising. Okay. The rabbit's fast. Takes right out of the pocket. Phew, gone. All right. But the turtle, a little more slow, and the turtle's marketing. Okay. But what happens is in the situation when you have marketing, your message gets seen more by people and it becomes a reliable thing to them subconsciously because eventually they start thinking about, or especially they start thinking about your product or service when they start to need it. You're already embedded in their their subconscious mind, and they start thinking about, oh yeah, man, you know what? Like, for an example, I need to lose some weight. Okay. Well, if you see Trim Care, run by Dr. Ivan Goldsmith, and you see it all the time advertised in magazines or advertised all the time, on television or on a particular radio station that you listen to. When you start thinking about, well, I need to lose weight, you start thinking about that commercial that you've heard 15, 17, 18, 20 times. Mm-hmm. And you go, well, maybe I'm going to give that place a try. Okay. As compared to, you heard it one time 3 months ago. Can't and hear no more. So, when you're trying to figure out what the best way is to effectively market your business, you need to make sure that it's something that you're going to do in the long run, for the long term, so that you give the audience, the people you're talking to, an opportunity to know you, like you, and trust you. And you do that through repetition of marketing, not through one or two quick advertisements to them and you move on down the road. Advertising is a losing proposition when it is not geared towards marketing. It is just that simple. And yes, it's true. You might get a little bit of business from some type of advertising that you do. And, you know, you make a quick call or, you know, so forth, and you throw a quick flyer out, but you don't follow up with it. And it's true. Yes, Steve.
I would like to add one thing to that. Word of mouth does not constitute advertising for your business. That should be an element that's automatic of any business, whether you're good or bad. If you're great, you should still have a word of mouth referral program. But that should not be your primary, source of leads or clients.
That's a very good point, Steve. That's absolutely right. Word of mouth, simple things that you can do not constitute your marketing, although they can become, let's just say, they can become part of your marketing, but they cannot and should not ever be all of your marketing. So, of course, when you're out, you can talk about your business and tell people and so forth and whatnot. But if you're just going to go, yeah, my only means for marketing is just telling people who I am, look, you're sunk.
Or my customers tell other customers.
Yeah, it just doesn't work that way. I mean, it can, yes, of course, you can always get referrals. I'm not saying you won't get referrals. You will get referrals. But are you going to get enough to build the type of business you're wanting to build and make the type of income you want to make? Probably and absolutely not. That's what the averages are showing us. So marketing is about making a long-term plan that you're going to stay in front of the people and deliver a steady and consistent message and make sure that they – and make sure that they're getting your message, and that they're hearing it time after time after time after time after time. Repetition in this particular thing is a good thing because that's how they're going to know you, like you, and trust you. And that's what people want to do, is know you, like you, and trust you before they do business with you. And especially in this day and age, you know, a lot of people go online and check you out and find out who you are and what you're doing and so forth and whatnot. Cause some people are, frankly, a lot of people are very paranoid about being ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to make sure. And one of the best ways to do that is consistently be in their ear, be in their eyes. So make sure your marketing plan is long term and it's not short term. Very, very important part of marketing. And,
the repetition leads to familiarity.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And,
but it can't be just, you know, it can't just be, you know.
We're going to come back to that, Steve, if you would, please hold that thought. We're going to have on the line with us here in just a minute Dr. Ivan Goldsmith. He's the owner of Trim Spa here in Las Vegas, and he specializes in weight loss. He's a certified MD. He is with the American Board of Anti-Aging Medicine and also with the American Board of Bariatric Medicine. Trim Care is real doctors, real people, and real weight loss. You can contact them at 702-878-8888. That's 702-878-8888, and that's called Trim Care, Dr. Ivan Goldsmith.
Hello, thank you for Thank you for having me on your radio show.
Hey, thank you for being with us, Dr. Goldsmith. I guess the first thing we're going to do here is I got a few questions for you, and what I'd like to try to do is get you to talk a little bit about trim care and what exactly it is that you do for people with your weight loss and what they can expect when they come out to see you.
Well, I have some great news. Trim Care of Las Vegas made an announcement today. The company is being purchased by another company referred to as Cannabis Science. It trades on the NASDAQ over-the-counter bulletin board, CBIS. And it's going to be a very exciting relationship because Cannabis Science is at the forefront of medicinal cannabis for the treatment of a variety of medical ailments. And Cannabis Science and Trim Care are working closely to develop a pill based on an analog of a cannabis derivative that will actually work to suppress hunger. That seems counterintuitive to what you think when you think of marijuana and you think of the munchies, but Trim Care and Cannabis Science are very excited on this project. We're actually developing a supplement that's going to be turning on brown fat. And for your listeners that may not know what brown fat is, brown fat and white fat are the types of fat that we have in our body, and with brown fat it helps to keep us warm, burn calories, and helps keep us thin. But the thing is, the work in obesity is accelerated in this area, and people probably know there's certain types of lasers that cool the fat and help to turn on the brown fat. So Trim Care is very excited because we're working to create a product with this company and create a partnership where we can open up clinics all over the country that are going to be emphasizing the association between the endocannabinoid system and weight loss. So Trim Care currently has about 30 over-the-counter products and has treated thousands of people in Las Vegas. And I'm proud to say it's probably the premier weight loss program. But through this association, it's going to open up some exciting avenues of cutting-edge pharmacology and research, which is going to help us expand the brand.
And how many of these clinics are you looking to open up, these trim spas?
Well, Trim Care clinics in association with Cannabis Science, we're looking to open up at least two, maybe three more in Las Vegas in the next 6 to 12 months.
Wow.
And hopefully we'll open them up nationwide through this relationship or this partnership that we have, because now we're going to have access to hundreds of doctors and hundreds of different locales that normally we wouldn't have had. So I think it's going to be a great synergy and a great relationship.
Oh, that sounds like some exciting times for you good people. I know I have a good time when I come out there. You guys are one of the better doctors that I've certainly ever been to here in Vegas, which is why I keep coming back as well.
Oh, I love hearing that.
And let me ask you, what are some of the, for people looking to lose weight, what are the best carbs for people to eat?
Well, I have a rule, nothing white at night. So one of the things that, you know, we instruct our patients, we have a computer software program that works on something called Diet Pro Master, and basically we're able with the software to program in based on somebody's resting energy expenditure. Usually what that means is those are the number of calories that people burn every day when they, you know, put on their clothes, walk to and from work, and take a shower, but without exercise. So ideally when people go to a physician, you want to know what your resting energy expenditure is. So we usually subtract 300-400 calories. Say your resting energy expenditure is 1600 calories a day.
Okay.
We subtract 300-400 calories from that, we give people 1200 calories. But the rule is, to keep it nice and simple, is nothing white at night. So what that means is no baked potato, mashed potato, gratin potatoes, french fries, pasta, or rice, because those are the things that get everybody in trouble. And that's not to mention bread is white. So in the morning, when people get up and have breakfast, they should try to indulge in more egg whites or egg beaters or even hard-boiled eggs. Hard-boiled eggs, but if you have the yolk, it's not the type of cholesterol that causes a heart attack. And the other thing that's real important is you don't want to have the bagel and cream cheese in the morning, because that's 800 to 1,000 calories. Even if you have the bagel thins from Einstein Bagels, look on the board up there. It tells you that they're 400-plus calories. So you want to avoid bread. Some people think bread is worse than soda or even diet soda, because they think it has a higher source of high fructose corn syrup. So the goal with telling people to stay away from white things and maybe eliminate ketchup and use more salsa and maybe even Tabasco sauce, because it acts like ephedra and helps to burn the fat, is to get people away from condiments and foods and chips that have high fructose corn syrup. So the rule is nothing white at night, but for the most part, probably nothing white during the day as well, because and that doesn't include things like white chicken or egg whites or egg beaters or those type of things. So we're talking about things like pasta and rice and bread and potato chips, because those invariably have a high concentration of this thing we call high fructose corn syrup. And that's really what's making people fat or making us obese. But it's particularly bad, or as bad as the trans fats, which, as you know, in New York, they've taken out of all the fast foods.
Right.
Hmm.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it so important to optimize your hormones, whether you be a man or a woman, when you're trying to lose weight?
One of the things that's very important is that as we age, many of the hormones that we make, for instance, estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, growth hormone, they all seem to decline. One of the things I'm very excited about, and the reason I think we were purchased by CBIS, is that we've been working with a new substance called somorolin, which is basically a growth hormone releasing factor. And we've been, if you go to our website at www.trimcare.com, you can see the 100 patients that we've treated with this stuff. We have got a treatment now that can literally melt fat. It's akin to the treatment that they're using in the HIV/AIDS patients. You know, those folks, when they get on the drugs to slow up the virus, they get bad fat. They develop something called visceral lipodystrophy, which means that the fat becomes disease, and they get globs of fat in unsightly places once they start the antiviral medications to control the virus. So one of the things that TrimCare has been instrumental in doing is implementing a program where we have used the somorolin to inject, and I don't think we were doing it when you were here last, Cameron. We've only been doing it for 5 or 6 weeks. I've never seen a therapy in 20 years melt fat. Literally, you can go to the website and look at www.trimcare.com. We have all the before and after pictures there. But at the end of the day, with all the problems with obesity, it really comes down to one thing, the fat. So if you have fat centered around your waist versus your hips and thighs, it's a terrible thing, because it predisposes you to a lot of inflammation and chronic diseases, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, cancer, stroke. So at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is get people to lower their percent body fat. And we know that the more fat you have, the more inflammation that's induced in the systemic system in the body, and the more harm that comes from it. So we're trying to get rid of fat. Now, as we get people leaner and meaner, we want to have more lean body mass and more muscle, and we want to have less fat. And that's what drives the caloric burn. Women, for instance, they never compete with men in terms of weight loss, because they have more fat, less muscle. So when men have more muscle, less fat, they burn calories. They burn a lot more calories. So they always win hands down at weight loss contests. So the goal at TrimCare is really to attack the fat. I used to think in terms of pounds lost and, you know, tell people to lose 10% of their total body weight. But at the end of the long day, it's trying to get people to have the right type of fat. We want more brown fat. We want less white fat. And literally, we want less fat overall. But if we had to pick one, it seems like the brown fat is what's metabolically more active and helps you to burn the calories.
So burn,
helps us
so
keep
burn
warm. It helps us keep warm. But, you know, we want to get rid of fat. And so the fat, especially the type that's centered around our waist.
So burn the fat and keep the muscle.
That's right. And so that's one of the things we try to do with the hormone therapy. So one of the things we find is as men get older, they develop something called andropause. Not menopause like you would think you hear about in women. We gave them the prefix MEN, but we get something called andro, A-N-D-R-O pause. And that means that we have a cessation of testosterone. I cannot tell you how many people come in my clinic. They have what's called the bitch tits or the gynecomastia, and they have fat around their waist. The more fat you have around the waist, the more the testosterone gets aromatized to estrogen, and the more it gets concentrated in areas like the breast. So you'll see people, you know, men with the man boobs, and at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is optimize their testosterone and may even block the conversion of the testosterone through the fat to estrogen. So we give people testosterone replacement. We give them treatments like Crysin, C-H-R-Y-S-I-N, or Remedex, and a drug that women are familiar with that have had a history of breast cancer, to block that conversion to estrogen. It promotes weight loss. It's very, very effective. Not to mention that most people, as they get older, their growth hormone levels decline. And just for your listeners, I wanted to spell a common, you know, thing that people hear about. There's no cancer associated with testosterone or growth hormone replacement therapy. Despite what our government may have us to believe that correcting these hormones is bad or we're trying to cheat in sports performance, these hormones are essential to prevent aging. And so testosterone does not cause prostate cancer, growth hormone does not cause cancer, and these therapies are very, very effective at enhancing lean body mass, promoting weight loss, and optimizing health. You know, one of the first things I see when I see a new onset diabetic, adult onset diabetic, I try to get them on testosterone, especially if they're male, I try to get them on testosterone replacement therapy before I go to the diabetic drugs, because it's been shown time and time again, by promoting more lean body mass and getting rid of body fat, we help people lower their insulin resistance and maybe help them forestall the ravages of diabetes.
Oh, so you're saying that technically by giving them, seeing a male in this case, by giving them testosterone and having them working out and eating right, they can increase their muscularity, their muscle, which helps to stave off some of the bad things that diabetes brings with it?
That's correct. And even forestall the diabetes itself. So testosterone is an interesting drug, because in men, it's sometimes given, you know, with these topical creams in the armpit. People have heard of Axiron. They've heard of Androgel packets that they slather on the skin. But it seems like there may be some problem with transdermal absorption of testosterone through the skin. So we've resorted to, you know, testosterone injections where they're given in the buttock or the thigh, or some men give them in their thigh or anterior abdomen, and or even pellet therapy. Now we have testosterone replacement. It comes in pellet, and it's a 5-minute office procedure. You numb up the area, and you can just, you know, put in a little device that allows you to insert these hormone pellets, these testosterone pellets, and they sit there and they slowly time release over 4 months, so people don't have to trendle back and forth to a doctor's office to get a shot or worry about putting on a daily application of cream. And that's another option for keeping high steady state levels, and people seem to love that therapy, and it's very popular around the country, and we've got a fair number of people in Las Vegas. Hormone replacement by pellet replacement.
Let me ask you this, and so far we may have some type 2 diabetics out there who are listening to the show right now. So has it been your experience, or is there any real clinical information that type 2 diabetes can actually be reversed?
I think one thing that's often underlooked in the treatment of adult onset diabetes is that you want to predict and treat before the complications. So one of the things I do myself, there's one therapy I really love that is a mainstay in type 2 diabetes, which is metformin or glucophage. If people Google this and look up the articles and the stories that appeared in the mainstream press about a year ago, there's a drug that's the first-line therapy for all diabetics. Metformin or glucophage works in the liver to make it so that you don't produce glucose. Obviously, the less glucose you make, the less insulin you need from the pancreas. So this drug is very, very effective and actually has anti-cancer properties on its own. So I would encourage any of your listeners to think that they got a, you know, if you have a family history of diabetes, if mommy or daddy had diabetes, you got a 60% risk. If both parents had diabetes, you got an 80% risk of getting this disease just on that genetic basis alone. So knowing those type of risk factors and the epidemic of diabetes is coming on in this country, one of the things that people may want to do even before they become diabetic, because you don't just become diabetic, what happens is that you start to get a high sugar after you eat. We wait too long to diagnose diabetes in this country. Most of the time, diabetes, the first sign is after you eat, the sugar goes up over 200. You can't handle the glucose load. It's not the fasting blood sugar that the doctor usually tells you, don't eat after midnight, let's check your fasting blood sugar. By the time the fasting blood sugar is elevated, you've had diabetes for 3 or 4 years. So I'm advocating to my obese patients, obviously, exercise, lose weight. You'll want to walk after you eat. If you could just walk 5 or 10 minutes once or twice a day after you eat, that's like akin to preventing diabetes, because that's one of the first advice tidbits that I love to give patients. Walk after you eat. It helps to really take the stress off the pancreas, because after all, we're trying to save that gland or that organ that's pumping out the insulin. So walk after you eat, especially if you've got a tendency or a family history of becoming diabetic. And even if you can only walk for 5 minutes, it does a world of good. The second thing is I have patients do metformin or glucophage. I love this drug. Even if you're not diabetic and you're overweight or obese, it promotes weight loss. And I do it every day because my dad was diabetic and I don't want to get this disease, because I know genetically I have about a 60-70% risk. The final thing I tell patients is there is an incredibly effective therapy that's underutilized that's called Victoza, V-I-C-T-O-Z-A. This is a sub-Q shot that's given once a day. We use it even in our non-diabetic patients. Normally this medication promotes fullness and satiety, but it's unbelievable in terms of promoting weight loss. So here we have a diabetic drug, a shot once a day, sub-Q injection, very easy, that promotes fullness and satiety. That's a major advance, because one of the things that happens in obese patients, they feel hungry, they need something to help create food avoidance, so they don't want to stop at the In-N-Out Burger or the Sonic Burger, but they also need something that promotes fullness and satiety. It's like when you go to the Chinese restaurant, you want to eat again in 2 hours. So fullness and satiety and delaying gastric emptying, Victoza, V-I-C-T-O-Z-A, is an injection people may want to ask their doctors about. It has an unbelievable amount of evidence that's coming out with this drug. It's being studied as we speak for a major weight loss role. And so this drug, in conjunction with a lot of other medications, or even as a standalone therapy, will promote incredible weight loss. How much weight loss? Maybe 25 or 30 pounds over the year. That's a lot of weight loss with just an injection once a day that promotes fullness and satiety. And I've seen it. I've got patients that it's working beautiful on. So we're now in a little vanguard of like advances in medical weight loss therapy that dovetails with diabetes. Not only can we get you to lose the bad fat and make you cosmetically more beautiful, but we can also stave off the diabetes that's ultimately going to lead to some major complication like kidney failure or limb amputation or blindness. So it's an incredibly exciting time. You got to know what to ask the doctor. We're past the point where you want to come to the doctor and just get a general checkup. Most people, I'd say 50 to 60% of adults in this country are at risk for adult onset diabetes. So I'm even advocating using metformin or glucophage if you're overweight or obese and got a family history, even before you get diabetes, to give the pancreas a rest. It may forestall the onset of diabetes by 10 or 15 years, if not more.
And how much exercise is needed daily for weight loss if you're a type 2 diabetic?
That's a great question. Most people would say 30 minutes daily, and I want to emphasize daily, because most of my adult onset diabetics, they've got excess number of fat cells. So when we get people to lose weight or to start exercising, we're not getting rid of those fat cells. We're just shrinking those fat cells. So I'd say 30 minutes every day. When I hear people say they exercise 2-3 times a week, that's not enough, folks. You got to be out there 30 minutes a day, and if you can get it, at least an hour a day. Because to maintain your weight, we know that you need somewhere between, and once you lose 15-20 pounds, you need at least 45 minutes to an hour a day. But to continue to lose weight, you probably need as much as an hour and a half.
Mm.
That's a combination of aerobic and anaerobic exercise.
Oh, so weightlifting.
You don't need to stretch. You don't need to do all kinds of calisthenics. You just need to get out there and start walking. And then if you can add in some, some resistance training, great, with some weights or some ropes or some bands or, do yoga or do any of that kind of stuff. It's great.
All righty. Well, you certainly have given us a lot of information.
Talk real fast. There's a lot of information to get in, Cameron.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It's a lot of good stuff. And maybe we can have you back again in a couple weeks and
we can have another interview.
And we'll go from there. So thank you for being with us. We really appreciate it, Dr.
Goldsmith. I hope everybody has a good night. Dr. Goldsmith with TrimCare.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a website that you can give us?
www.trimcare.com.
All righty then. Well, I'll be in contact with you in a couple weeks then, Mr. Goldsmith.
Okay, Cameron. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And once again, that was Dr. Ivan Goldsmith, who is the owner of the Trim Care here in Las Vegas. And you can contact him at 702-878-8888. That's 702-878-8888. He's a wonderful doctor, and I highly recommend that you go out there and give him a visit, especially if you got type 2 diabetes or if you need to lose weight or if you're just looking for a great MD to take care of you. Dr. Ivan Goldsmith is the doctor to do that. Once again, he's at 702-878-8888, and give him a look up, and I'm sure you're going to be very, very happy with him. I know that I was and still am. So, all righty. Now, let me get rid of those. That's right. I took off my headphones. I did it, and I'm not putting them back on, and you can't make me.
Unless you call in.
If you call in, yeah, that's very true. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and continue getting. We got through the steps of running a successful business there. Let me find my notes. I placed them over here somewhere. Let me see what I do. Ah, I found them. That's right. You're not going to fool me for long or hide from me for very long. And if you would like to call in, we're going to go ahead and open up some lines here. If you'd like to call in at 702-731-1230, that's 702-731-1230 if you're local here in Las Vegas, or 866-820-5528 if you're out of state. That's 866-820-5528 out of state. We're going to go in now. As life is an obstacle course. Who believes that?
As much as you create it to be an obstacle course, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Well,
there's naturally going to be some things that get put in front of you from outside sources.
Correct.
That's how you deal with those things.
Right. And that's really the main thing, because a lot of people talk about all the stress that they have to, really deal with. And one of the things I think is key, always remembering, is that stress is how we relate to something that's being done to us. It's not just because something is stressful within itself. It's how we're going to deal with and relate to this particular thing being done, being done to us. So stress comes from the inside, and then people start to see it manifest to the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't come from the outside. And, so I think that's very important to understand. And one of the biggest lessons, too, to understand about an obstacle, no matter what the obstacle is, there is information to either solve the situation or manage the fallout to where it's comfortable. And you can, kind of like type 2 diabetes, if we go back to that for a moment, just because you have type 2 diabetes does not mean you have a death sentence, okay? It does mean you're going to have to exercise. It does mean that you're going to have to take some metformin. It does mean that you're going to have to watch how you eat and what you eat and how much of it that you eat. So, yes, it will be a radical lifestyle change from how you were previously used to living. But if you can look at it and you can add on another 20 years of productive life, depending upon your age, where you're at, but another 10 to 20 years of productive life, then certainly those changes are well worth it. So you can live a happier, healthier life, be with your friends and family, maybe get done some more of the goals that you wanted to achieve and have some more of those wonderful experiences that we are all looking for. So life can be an obstacle course, all sorts of challenges set up before us and hurdles to overcome. I am sure that you can think of some of your obstacles right now and that there are some obstacles you could have solved with extra training and larger effort in your life. Write these obstacles down. Now, I'm going to repeat this again. If you don't have the availability to write down right now what some of your obstacles currently are, or what even some of your obstacles were in the past, and you just let them go, and you didn't figure them out, and you didn't solve them, and they're still coming around, biting you in the butt sometimes, okay? I want you to sit down at night, think about what obstacles are really bothering you, what obstacles are really in your way. How do you feel about those obstacles? Like when you think about them, how does that obstacle make you feel? And next thing you want to do is start to write out a plan of how am I going to eliminate this obstacle? And don't do it in some weird abstract way where you're going to tell yourself something that you know you're not going to do. Okay. I don't care if it means that, you know, like you got type 2 diabetes and you can't walk for an hour yet. Go out and walk 5 minutes a day. Okay, something you know you can do. 5 minutes a day was better than no minutes that day. And then eventually you work up to 10. And you're up to 15. And then so forth and so on. You're up to perhaps walking a full hour a day. Don't tell yourself you're going to go out and walk a full hour a day when you just know you ain't got the health to do that. Start out small. Let yourself work up and you will make it. But what's important is that you address these obstacles and you don't leave them in your life and leave them unattended to, because they will fester. And they will create bigger and bigger problems for you down the road. So first line of attack, get right on those obstacles. Figure out a believable plan that you can accept. And a believable plan that you can accept could be this. You write out the obstacle. You see how it makes you feel. Then you write out the answer to solving the obstacle. And then you think about how that answer feels. Does it feel like, yeah, I can do that? Or does it feel like, I'm not going to do that. There's no way, okay? then if you kind of get that answer, then you restructure your answer to the obstacle till you find a way that you're actually going to be able to do it. It doesn't matter how you get it done per se, as long as you get it done it's effective for you. Sometimes we need a push and sometimes we need to push others. Parts of the course utilize our talents and skills to full, while we struggle with other elements where we feel our talents are found lacking. This is when outsourcing is a great idea. Working together creates energy and 10 times results. Now, what that really means is, do not be ashamed to hire others. I'm talking about if you're a business owner, and you can think of this in terms of if you're not a business owner, you're just someone who needs to do something personally, you need to find somebody with that information and that knowledge who can solve that situation for you and give you that information. Remember, information solves obstacles. It dissolves them. The correct information will dissolve obstacles. All right, so if you're a business owner, hire to your weakness. So if you know that you need to do better marketing and so forth, but you're not very good at it, hire an employee or somebody who actually is very good at marketing, or bring in a consultant if you have to that is really good at marketing. Don't be ashamed of the fact that you're not very good at marketing. Find someone who is and hire them, or hire them either as an employee or as a consultant. Because this will 10 times everything in your business. Your business will take off. You'll have money coming through the door. You'll have repeat customers. It is well worth it. Don't sit there and die and wither away just because you feel ashamed to say, I don't really know how to market. It's okay. Don't be ashamed of that. We all have to learn. But do something. Find a consultant who can come in and help you and turn your business around. It might cost you a little in the upfront, but you're going to gain from it significantly in the long run. And that's what business is about. Business is a long-term winning proposition, not a short-term losing proposition. Just when we think we have reached the end, we realize this is just another stage, and yet more obstacles lie before us. Some will go ahead and keep speed and make their goal. Others will speed along and just collapse. Others will say it's not fair and that they were set up to lose from the very beginning. Well, it's important to prepare daily for what lies ahead. Exercise the mind and the body so you can face the challenges. The route can take you through some awe-inspiring scenery, so do not solely focus on the task at hand. Enjoy the view while you're actually going along. I'm going to sum it up here because we got 1 minute before we have to go to a hard break. Is that right, Ryan? Hard break? We got to go to a hard break. So we're going to go to a hard break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to let the staff here get involved in talking a little bit more, because, you know, that hour blew by and they didn't really get to say anything, and I see they're pinning pictures up of me on the wall right now. Okay. And so they got their little pictures going on the walls right now, so pretty soon it could be darts being thrown at me. Okay. All right, we'll see you at the top of the hour.
Battle with the mind. What makes you think you can do it now? Nobody in your family has ever done it. Battle with the mind. In fact, if you start, they'll all make fun of you. What makes you think you can do it now? It's called the thief in the mind that steals the dream and steals the promise. Makes you less effective than you should be. Here's what you must do.